AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Hunter here today. Hunter, before we get into it, and we got a lot to get into today, that's for sure. I want just two things I want to make sure I go over, kind of revisiting two things. First of all, after I sent a nasty note and I made the blog post to Fox News about after that crud they tried to pull with me.
Yeah.
They've invited me back. They've invited me back. So I'm going to this is going to be a week from Sunday. I'm going to be back on there.
The same show.
Yeah, with the Leland, the Leeler. That was the show. Do you remember the news story a few weeks ago where the guy showed up and opened it and it was actually held up a picture of John McCain? And the Fox News people got upset and they cut him off. That was so hilarious. I'm guessing they're down to a handful of progressives they can have on that show anymore at this point. Anyway, so I will be doing that show coming up here and just, more TV. Yeah. And then the other news thing is I wanted to actually address something that some people have kind of come at me a little bit. Now, do you remember the U.S. women's team is playing in the Women's World Cup of Soccer? They're playing in France. It's quite amazing. As a matter of fact, the story as you get into the quarterfinals of the European teams and how they have really stepped up. It used to be only a handful of countries in Europe were really good, and now basically it's the United States and seven European squads. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I think they were playing Thailand in their first game. They won 13-0. Wow. And, that's in soccer, that's kind of a drubbing, to say the least, let alone in a World Cup game, because this is supposed to be the best the world has to offer. And what had happened was after, the 10th goal, which is I went back and looked at, men's World Cup soccer. I couldn't find a game that lopsided in the last 40 years. The worst I found was like a 7-1 game where North Korea got beaten by Portugal or something like that. It was just a drubbing there. But when you get to the 10th goal, that this other team doesn't deserve to be on the field with you. I think no one is that this is there. I mean, to celebrate the 11th, the 12th, the 13th goal, like it's, the championship game winner, where everyone's running out. Oh my God, number 13. I mean, you did more damage. I understand. Hey, for women's soccer in the United States, no, it probably was a feather in the old cap. But for women's soccer in the world, you did far more damage to your sport than you helped. Because how many borderline countries are going to go and spend $500,000, $1 million to try to put together a country team just to watch the United States do a victory celebration lap after the 16th goal, per se? If it's just like that. Why? What's the point of it? It's just that's not the goal out there is to not have, spend, $500,000, $1 million on a country team just to get them humiliated on the world stage. No, that's not. So they actually did more damage to the women's soccer internationally, while at the same time giving a lot of rah-rahs. Well, in case you missed it, is it the Copa tournament, the European Copa tournament they're playing in the United States men's team? You're not a big soccer fan?
No, I have no idea.
They played Trinidad and Tobago, the mighty Caribbean nation, and we beat them. Well, Trinidad and Tobago knocked us out a few years ago in the World Cup consideration. Well, we beat them pretty bad, 6-0. And I had some people coming at me and saying, why aren't you complaining about them? Well, first of all, this wasn't a World Cup game, per se. This was where you're supposed to have the top level. This is one of these tournaments where you're playing lesser teams. But you do understand 6 is less than half of 13, right? You do understand that number. And yeah, if they would have gotten up to 10, 11, and they were still celebrating like it was a frat party, then, yeah, I would definitely be going after them. But it was 6, and it wasn't a World Cup game. It was just a regular game. So it'd be like, for lack of better, like the beer league softball guy getting a double and then stopping the game so he can go over to the bench and high-five everyone and get a fresh beer as he sits on second base. You know, it's, you know, it's, you know, if they would have gotten up to that point, it would have been something easy to mock, but they didn't. And once again, I'm proud of the United States team. I think some of the women on that team are insanely good athletes. As a matter of fact, I think the greatest pass ever in the history of soccer I have ever seen was 2 World Cups ago, where the midfielder hit it in the air at a mad, frantic sprint, went about, I'm going to guess, 80 yards, and hit our forward on the head in the right spot between a window the size of a postage stamp, and they got the goal. I couldn't believe it. That was as good as it gets. It's entertaining. It just is, you know, as a person who is at these younger levels of sports, and you see these intramural teams where the one team is doing dance routines because they've scored their 18th soccer goal on a team that clearly shouldn't even be out there. Half the girls are crying. What's the value here? I mean, are you really going to go home after that game and knock them back and, yeah, man, Thailand! You know, come on. Is it really what you're going to do? You know, like I said, impressive win. I'm not saying you don't celebrate. I'm saying you don't need to celebrate like it's, you know, you just won the whole dang thing. You know, you don't celebrate at Wimbledon. Serena Williams doesn't celebrate at Wimbledon after her first round match when she 6-0 some, you know, some qualifier by, you know, jumping up and down for joy in the middle of the court going, I finally beat her! Got her! You don't, you know, a little decorum, all right? They play tomorrow. They've got the host country, France. That is a dangerous game. Watch Italy, too, by the way. That Italian squad. That Italian squad's good, man. They're out of nowhere, too. They were not expected to be this good. So 952-946-6205. All right, so enough of that. On to the two Supreme Court rulings. There were two, in case you missed it today. The Supreme Court basically said that they don't have the federal courts cannot weigh in on state gerrymandering cases, meaning that as long as the state court goes along with whatever party's gerrymandered, there's nothing you can do about it. That ruling got the most press, but it really shouldn't have. It's the other ruling which is far more interesting and actually far more damaging as anything goes, because, and I'll explain. Let me get into this here a little bit. Gerrymandering's been going on. By the way, any Republican out here who was, when Tom DeLay was, how dare Democrats gerrymander? Democrats never gerrymandered like Republicans have. Right now, in every state, there is a Republican or a Republican-hired operative whose basic, their goal is to go over, you know, every map they have that and basically go over it block by block, you know, city by city, in some cases, houses by house, and determine what is the best ratios for Republicans in a redrawn district. It is, you know, in Texas, the city of Austin does not have its own congressional representative. They actually have, they've split the city of Austin, I think, into 7 different districts, all of them. So a little piece of Austin goes into a far more conservative district, and they basically neutralized Austin from having a congressional seat. North Carolina, they've had their horrible problems out there. It's something that has been going on, and as Republicans at one time say they were outraged, now they basically are, this is the greatest thing ever. We could cheat all day, but you really can't. There is a definitive rule with districts. You cannot have a congressional district with a vast majority of more population than another one. For a while there, about 15 years ago, and this has actually been tested, I think, in the Supreme Court. I think it was in the 1800s sometime. There was an attempt to do this where you had, you know, 500 people in this district, 500 people in this district, and 1 million people in that district. And you can't do that. The districts have to actually match up population-wise. And back in about 15 years ago, some Republicans in the state of Minnesota were actually thinking about the idea of trying to make one congressional district of Minneapolis and St. Paul and trying to throw as many of the liberal-leaning suburbs in with it as a way to neutralize that and then try to figure out a way to break down the rest of the state to where that, you know, so there'd be one congressional district with, you know, a million plus people in it. And then the other, you know, the other seven congressional districts would have somewhere in the area of about 600,000, maybe 500,000. And of course, they realized they were not going to legally be able to do that because there has actually been legal precedent set in this case. So you have to, these congressional seats have to match up, population wise within reason. You know, if you have 50,000 here, 60,000 there, it's going to be close, but still you can't overweight. The Republicans are pretty much at a point where they've figured out how to hold these seats, but a lot of these seats they win not because it's a Republican nomination, but because they convince enough Democrats to stay at home and they win a district by 1 or 2 points. But that's been changing, especially as the economy hasn't gone as gangbusters as Republicans insist it has. The farming markets haven't. In Pennsylvania, where they have had these, they've gerrymandered that state down to a science to hold it for the Republicans. Even in gerrymandered districts that went Republican Trump's way by 10, 15 points, Democrats are winning those seats because just they've upset enough people. So they've got the problem as it is, and you can't gerrymander some of these states any more than they have. And this all comes down to one thing. Republicans know that their policy and their party is unpopular as a whole to the majority. That if you put the party out there, only about a third of the country likes it. So everything they have done has been in a way to try to keep a third of the country to be able to control the rest of the country. And, you know, the ultimate element was that in 2016, you had Hillary Clinton win 3 million more votes than Donald Trump did. But because of unique quirks within the Electoral College system, basically Trump was declared the winner. But they are at that point where one bad economic downturn. I mean, you already saw what happened in 2018. Healthcare killed these guys in 2018, and they're not about to start getting better on healthcare. And now you have the Trump tax cut, which has hurt a dramatic amount of Americans. And you've got an ag policy, which is destroying most family farmers. And you've got this monstrosity down on the southern border with these concentration camps for kids. So as far as the Supreme Court rulings go, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, look, they signed off on gerrymandering. Well, that's as long as basically the House and the Senate in those given states and sometimes the governor are all controlled by the Republicans and the state courts are controlled by the Republicans as well. And there are some states where that's the case. But if Democrats get off their damn asses and get into every single one of those districts, I don't want to go into that one. There's a conservative district. Get off your asses and get in there. Do you know how many conservative districts I went out and door knocked on in this last election cycle? The reason why Republicans they're banking on Democrats being too afraid to go into these districts and go out there and say, hey, how about health care? They know that if that happens, they can't fight that. So even though that's that's a monstrosity, and I think we're definitely going to see challenges in the future to where population quotas get attacked and then just obscene districts where like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and State College, Pennsylvania are all in one district and all the rest of them. Or yeah, for Minnesota, it'd be something like Minneapolis, St. Paul are all in one district and that's that. But the reality is it's the other question, the other Supreme Court ruling today, which is by far actually very damaging for the Republicans because the Republicans know that even with this rigged system, with the money advantage, with the media advantage, with this gerrymandered district, with voting rules that basically send a lot of Democrats away, they know that they're still losing ground. And so their next goal was to fix the census so that basically they could start eliminating minorities from the census vote. And the Supreme Court ruling on that saying, no, you're lying with your justifications for putting this on there, so you cannot do this under these justifications. creates a huge mess for the Republican Party. Because it's not just the fact that the Supreme Court, a conservative Supreme Court, just told them, you can't put the census question on there, your citizenship question on the census as of right now under this argument. But it's the other news that came out with the census and that immigration question, the citizenship question on the census, in regards to the conservative pundit who passed away and his daughter found all of his secret files. That makes this really difficult for the Republicans to follow through on this. And if the Republicans cannot put the citizenship question on the census, they are looking at their house of cards starting to collapse because their own policies have been so bad for Americans that even stalwart Republican voters are either just sitting it out or actually changing their vote. And if the Democrats stay active and engaged and they all vote in unison, there is no chance for the Republicans to hold these majorities. 952-946-6205. More on that census question when we do come back, because that actually is it's not a victory per se, because it's more just saying you need to go back and justify this again. That's what they're saying. But I don't know how in the heck they're going to even be able to do that. We'll talk about that. Mark in Minneapolis, hold on to your call in just a second. It's a Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Does your dog deserve food that is as wholesome as the food you feed your family? Food that is natural without artificial ingredients? At Total Dog Company, we carry Nature's Logic brand dry and canned foods. Nature's Logic pet foods are made without any synthetic vitamin mixes or other synthetic nutrients. All the goodness comes from real food. Find Nature's Logic at Total Dog Company in New Hope, right off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North, and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and light from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Mark is in Minneapolis. Let's get Mark on in here before he has to wait too much longer. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call.
Well, thanks, Matt. I agree. A census question was the bright spot. I wish they would have a little more common sense about the rule of law when it came to gerrymandering. Even Ronald Reagan decried the problem of gerrymandering. Others have done it. I mean, it's a bipartisan issue, and Maryland was apparently one that was packed by Democrats, though not as well as, say, Wisconsin or North Carolina or a number of other ones. There's a great book by David Daley. I actually heard him speak on the issue of gerrymandering. It's called Rat F, like, blank, blank.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great book about their strategy called Red Map. and one of the districts, I don't know if it's in Virginia or, oh, no, it's not Virginia. I bet it's in Pennsylvania. The district looks like Mickey Mouse kicking Goofy.
It's in North Carolina. It is in North Carolina. I've seen that one.
Yep.
It's
totally outrageous. Like, there's no way to district. And there's one in Detroit that kind of circumvents parts of Detroit and then goes all the way to Pontiac, and it goes along basically the 8 mile road. I think that, you know, the rapper talked about that. So there's crazy districts out there that make no sense. They don't represent county lines. They don't represent municipalities. School districts are split in half. I mean, what sense does it make?
Well, and Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. And you're exactly right. It's the thing, though, is I want to make sure we understand what the ruling is. The ruling is the federal courts can't weigh in on this. What that means is that the state courts are where this gets decided. And so, you know, the simplest way around this, you see Melissa Hortman as the Speaker of the House in 2020, keep her as the Speaker of the House. Keep all those, if go into those Republican-held Senate districts in the metro area and flip every one of those damn seats to a Democrat. And you will have the House and the Senate. Henceforth, you won't have these outrageously gerrymandered districts. You neutralize it right there. Now, if you're in a state not like Minnesota, where you actually have a split legislature, and in Minnesota, by the way, reminder, I do not believe the governor weighs in on this. I think this is only a situation where it's the House and the Senate make the decision on this.
In Minnesota?
Yes.
You can actually veto it. That's what happened in 2010. Otherwise, I think we would have been Wisconsin if we had Emmer in there.
Well, let's see.
Because Republicans controlled the House and the Senate in 10.
Did the governor? Okay, all right. There was, what state am I thinking of then that they basically, maybe it is Wisconsin, the governor?
It could be there, yeah.
It does not have a say in the matter. It's just,
I just remember people saying, we would have been Wisconsin if Emmer had won instead of Dayton in 2010.
Yeah.
Because we would have been gerrymandered horribly.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm thinking of is that the constitutional questions can, you know, they usurp the governor in the state of Minnesota. I know that there's a state where basically, and I don't think it was Wisconsin because there was a Democratic governor who was saying, no, you can't do this. And they were basically saying, you can't stop us. So the one way you can do it is have the House and the Senate get the Democrats in charge there. If you have a governor like Governor Walz, who's going to appoint, you know, justices to the Supreme Court who are more than likely going to agree with his politics, that's going to help you too, because the state courts will rule on this. And that is what the Supreme Court has said, is that is where the decision is made. Now, granted, I have zero doubt that if the tides turn and all of a sudden Democrats start winning and they basically start redrawing maps, they're going to try to revisit this. And whether or not the same five conservative judges stay with what their standards are, or they flip and say, oh, no, we can now weigh in on this, will remain to be seen. But it's not as if they're saying gerrymandering is the law of the land now. It's up to the state, which means get off your asses and vote, Democrats. Ta-da! Ta-da! Please. The other thing, though, about the census question, and when I get back to this. Now, I can't remember the name of the guy. There's a guy that basically was working with Republicans on gerrymandering and stuff. And basically, he died. And his mother had said, when his daughter had come, whose daughter was somewhat estranged from him, had come to visit mom. Mom said, take whatever you want. That's, you know, you can have whatever you want. He's passed away. You can take whatever you want. So she goes into her room and she finds all these hard drives, which she takes, which she was told she could take. And she finds on them basically all of his notes for this gerrymandering and notes about the citizenship question on the census, which basically says the goal of this is to stop minorities from voting. And these notes are very unflattering for the Republican Party, because it basically says, yeah, this is the way that you keep white power in this country. And they're not candy coating it. It's about white supremacy. It's about, you know, making sure you discriminate against minorities. And that's what they're trying to do. And once again, getting back to the gerrymandering, they're already losing these gerrymandered seats and they can't gerrymander them anymore. In North Carolina, one of the comments that you read about is that the district had a 10-3 you know, three Democratic leaning seats and 10 Democratic or Republican leaning seats. And they said, well, you know, do you want to fix this? He said, only if you can make it 11-2, because they knew that because of the population, there was just no way they could make another seat go Republican. So they just basically said, we'll concede the three Democratic seats. We're going to keep the 11 Republican ones. Or excuse me, the 10 Republican ones in that case. So they are in, but you look at Pennsylvania, you look at Michigan, you look at other states where they have had special elections and Democrats have been able to chip away at this stuff. Well, the reality is if they need the citizenship question on the census, they need this to continue to thin out the voting ranks. And if they can't have it on there, and once again, the case, Department of Commerce versus New York arose after a number of states, cities, and advocacy groups sued the Trump administration and claimed the process the administration used to add the citizen question ran afoul of federal law. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who oversees the census, was set on adding the question and ignored clear evidence that showed it was a bad idea. U.S. District Judge Jesse Furman agreed with the plaintiffs in January, ruling the Trump administration had violated the Administrative Procedure Act and thus could not add the question. Two other judges later also struck down the citizenship question. In its ruling, the Supreme Court said the Department of Commerce did not provide an adequate explanation for its decision and sent the case back to a lower court for further review. Basically saying this, under your current argument, you cannot add the citizenship question to the census. You just can't. And now with this treasure trove of evidence we have that the citizenship question was indeed derived because of racist means, well, if you go back to court, you're basically asking the people who are trying to get the citizenship question off the census to basically go on out there with this evidence that the Republican Party knowingly did this. And by the way, can we also add in that Chris Kobach, in his red flags of the White House screening process, they were concerned this is their citizenship, their voting czar. You know, they said that he might have ties to white supremacists and that you need to ask him if he has actual ties to white supremacists. You throw that in there together and guess what? You've got a little bit of a problem for Wilbur Ross, and he is not going to be able to just ram this through. Trump now is threatening to delay the census because they desperately want to keep that on there. The reality is you negate this whole thing as if everyone freaking shows up and votes in 2020. I don't care how gerrymandered the district is. If every Democrat votes in 2020 in North Carolina and in Pennsylvania and in Ohio and in Illinois, in Georgia, in Texas, if every Democrat votes in those states, it doesn't matter how gerrymandered you are. I mean, sure, you'll still have a 40% of the seats, but you'll be against 60% of the seats. And the last I checked is, that's not a majority. 40% is a minority. And in 2020, everything gets redrawn. So, yeah, it's important. Whether we're talking about immigrants at the border, abortion rights, we're talking about GLBTQ rights, the military, you know, bad tax policy, ignorant trade policy, or whether or not your president has been colluding with a foreign country to basically be under control while being in the White House, the ultimate Manchurian candidate. You negate all of this by showing up and voting in 2020. And my God, if there is now ever a need to get out and vote, it is on this. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Heck, it was back in 2016, but for some reason, a lot of you guys decided to sit out. I have no idea. Oh, that's right. Hillary was going to be so much worse than Trump. Yeah. How'd that work out? Yeah. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, Twin Cities listeners. Tom Hartman here. Join me for a talk on Saturday, June 29th at Next Chapter Booksellers. That's at 38 South Snelling Avenue. It's at 7 p.m. Mass shootings are on the rise, so what's holding the U.S. back from enacting change? The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, my new book, is an in-depth, historically informed view of the role guns have played throughout American history.
From early European settlement to the Revolutionary War and Manifest Destiny, through the use of the slave patrols in the Deep South, which became the well-regulated militias so debated in 1787, to the recent school massacres. Plus, I'll talk solutions and sign books. In fact, a whole spectrum of my books. So if you have questions, come. We'll be doing a Q&A. Put it on your calendar. Saturday, June 29th at 7 p.m., join me at Next Chapter Booksellers, 38 South Snelling Avenue. Look forward to seeing you there, and bring your questions. Tag, you're it.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's so amazing when two of your favorite things come together, like the new Toyota RAV4 having a hybrid version. Stylish, energy efficient, and tough, you can't find a better combination. A showstopper interior with intuitive technology, the look which gets you noticed, and the durability for all types of driving. And the RAV4 hybrid received the NHTSA 5-star overall safety rating. Test drive one today. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit SITKASalmonShares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at SitkaSalmonShares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show here on your Thursday. Philip Byther has gotten enough to join us. He is the McGuire Director and Senior Curator for Performing Arts at the Walker. This weekend, they've got a big, big shindig going on over there. Rock the Garden happens at the Walker Art Center, and Philip is kind enough to join us today to talk about the lineup and all the stuff going on there. Hi, Philip.
Hey, Matt. Great to be with you.
Great to have you back, my friend. I imagine you've been really busy.
We just announced our full season for next year, and we have Rock the Garden on Saturday, so it'll be a great day. 8 really killer bands who we have enticed into coming here to Minnesota and are excited about playing.
My favorite of the crew you got, this is Courtney Barnett. What a gem. I mean, really, I am a big fan of hers, and I'm glad she's. I'm looking forward to seeing her there.
Oh, she's fantastic, and she's one of the few artists we've invited for a return visit to Rock the Garden. When she played as a kind of emerging artist in 2005, she just knocked everybody out. I mean, the combination of her wit and her kind of dry delivery and her slashing guitar work, it's just, she's fantastic. So now she's a big star, and she's the second headliner in the whole lineup.
The National as well, a very recognizable band. You got them playing the main stage as well.
Yeah, we've been after the National for years, and finally everything clicked, and it's a terrific band. They've just got this style of majestic, epic rock, and they'll close out the evening. They're bringing their full show. It's going to be a kind of monumental, you know, concert production as the sun goes down and twilight comes on, and you see the city skyline on the hill right outside the Walker, and it's a beautiful kind of place and time with Rock the Garden to experience some great music.
Let's run through the rest of the lineup you guys got. This, is on Saturday.
Yes, it's Saturday, and we have two stages, one in the Sculpture Garden and one right out on the street at the bottom of the hill where the Guthrie used to be, right next to the Walker. It makes for a great amphitheater, and as we mentioned, the last band is going to be the National, and they'll bring it on home. Courtney Barnett comes right before the National, and we're also welcoming and a lot of excitement around the band X from L.A., the great prototype, typical kind of L.A. punk band who has continued to be really fresh and strong, and they're the third band, and they've got the original lineup with John Doe and Exene Cervenka and Billy Zoom and all those guys, so that'll be great. Heartbones is a new configuration that Harmar Superstar has put together with a partner, a woman singer named Sabrina Ellis, who is really terrific, kind of retro, fun, dance, pop music. And also two of our favorite area artists, Dem Atlas, really cool up-and-coming hip-hop soul artist, singer, and Bad Bad Hats, both from the Twin Cities scene, both getting major national reputations. So they'll be on various stages earlier in the day. And the last two to mention is Adida Victoria, who's a real discovery, and she comes from Nashville and plays a kind of up-tempo Delta blues, really a discovery for us. And it's a big part of Rock the Garden. How do we turn people on to cool musicians who we think they should know about and are getting a lot of, you know, interesting buzz and national attention? And then the last band is The Beths from New Zealand. It's funny, we've got Courtney Barnett from Australia and The Beths from New Zealand. They're kind of a pop punk guitar pop band, really catchy, cool songs that they put together. So they too really help. I think it's one of the best lineups that, you know, we maybe have had in Rock the Garden.
Yeah, it is top to bottom. And love, by the way, I do love you have X coming on in there. That is as well. I mean, yeah, that's a nice solid endeavor. When you mentioned Adia, let's talk about that. I mean, do you guys, I imagine you get a lot of bands from nationwide and worldwide submitting, wanting to be part of this. I mean, what is the process when you find someone that's up and coming, that's like, okay, this is unique, this is new, let's get her up here from Nashville. What is the process like that? Is how much discussion is going on?
Well, you know, first there's a discussion between our partners over at The Current and Doug Bennett on my staff and I, and there's a foursome of us that kind of bat around ideas, sometimes argue over who people are most passionate about, what the right mix of artist is. And then we approach the agents or managers, and sometimes things just click beautifully. Sometimes we're in the process of attempting to convince or seduce an artist into coming and playing. And you know, one of the things that's really helped over the years is as artists have played Rock the Garden, they spread the word to their colleagues and other people, other musicians, and say, this is a great gig and you're really well treated, it's a beautiful setting, it's got this wonderful art center that sponsors it all, and you're sitting right next door, and all that, and a great radio station that helps support it and things. So you know, with Adida, we went to her management, and actually we kind of, she's on such a buzz right now, we kind of had to talk them into shaping, you know, a touring process to include Minneapolis and Rock the Garden. We really wanted her to debut with us, and she had just gotten a huge feature in the New York Times, and a lot of people then seeking her out. But she ended up saying yes, which we were thrilled about, and bringing a 7-piece band with her. And we thought, you know, she's not terribly well known yet, but this is a chance for us to introduce, we think, a really an important and exciting new voice, and somebody who's really mixing up early styles of blues with a very contemporary sound.
You talk about venues to have music that is being played, and obviously First Avenue is, you know, kind of the, you know, worldwide known music venue.
Sure.
The Armory has turned into one. My God,
yep.
I mean, so many bands want to play there. But I'm pound for pound, if I'm doing an outdoor show, I'm doing it in Minneapolis, you want to do it at the Sculpture Garden. My God, what if it's just a treat to be able to bring. And once again, it's your commitment to art. I mean, if in art takes all of its many forms. I mean, you're of course the performing art curator there. You know that art is not just a painting on the wall or a sculpture. It can be comedy. It can be dance. It can be music. And I think it's incredibly important that even though that, you know, national artists like The National and like Courtney Barnett X that have got these national followings, they're still artists, and that's displaying art just as you'd display any art at the Walker.
That's absolutely true, and that's a big part of the Walker's mission really for the last, you know, 50 plus years. Is we're not just that's why we're called an art center. In fact, we're not just a museum. We have a wonderful collection and great galleries, but we've got this world-class performing arts program that looks at contemporary dance and new performance and various forms of non-commercial music as art, and same with our film program and design program. So it's kind of like all great contemporary forms of expression under one roof, and that's why we have separate curators in the film side of things, in the visual arts side, and here in performing arts is my job. And Rock the Garden is a particularly fun because we get to marry kind of art and commerce. Absolutely, these are artists who view their work, and we view their work, as serious forms of expression, even though they come out of the rock and pop and hip-hop worlds. We believe that these are people making important art today, and we love it that 10,000 people turn out to be able to hear it and enjoy it, and we hope they'll come back, visit the galleries, check out some of our shows in our 380-seat McGuire Theater that run throughout the year, and you know, just kind of be part of kind of the art of our times. The other thing about Rock the Garden is we keep hearing from people, what a pleasurable event for an outdoor, big, multi-stage rock show it is. People just, they bring families, they, all ages are here, you know, people just seem to be in such a great mood, and so we love that one day where, it takes a whole year to plan the thing, but we love it that there's a day when so many different people from so many different backgrounds can all have a great time together, and the bands really love it too. They feel that positive vibe out there.
The Philip Bythers, once again, joining us. He is the director and senior curator for performing arts over at the Walker. What is the hottest day you've had? It's going to be in the 90s now, they're saying, on Saturday. So it'll be a delightful day, definitely a summer concert day.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of beer and other things to drink and water and things like that. And we do have an indoor, you know, the lobby of the Walker, the entranceway, where people can go in and get some air conditioning and chill out, get out of the sun and things. And we've also got, you know, coverings in different parts of the setup. The hottest day we had, I think, was 98 degrees. And that was 1 year we had to go offsite to Boom Island. And it was so hot, and there wasn't shade there as much. And that was kind of tough. But, I think people have been frustrated about all the rainy kind of chillier weather. So in some ways, this will be a celebration of finally summer has truly come, I think. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and also you should mention not only, a wide variety of beverages, but also you have a wide variety of food options as well.
Absolutely. A lot of great purveyors locally of a whole mix of interesting food vendors spread throughout the grounds. People really enjoy that about it all as well. It just is people can get close to the stage, or they can sit on a blanket up on the hill. They can come and go and check out the different stages. We've really now worked out a system where if people between bands on the main stage want to check out one of the three bands in the Sculpture Garden, it's really a nice chance to go get under the trees and go check out a smaller stage. The flow of our audiences and the whole kind of experience works really nicely.
All right, so it is Saturday. What time does the first band take the stage?
First band hits at 2:30. The gates and the doors open at 1 o'clock. We're getting close to being sold out. There's still some tickets left, but people should probably move if they really want to see it. The VIP tickets have all sold out and things. So the gates open at 1, first band at 2:30, and the National will finish no later than 10 o'clock. That's our curfew with the city. So the last note usually hits about 9:58 or something like that. So
well, that is an interesting quirk of it. But, it's considering what you just said. Your bands take the stage at 2:30 till 10 o'clock. 7.5 hours, you are going to get so much ding good music. It is insane.
Absolutely. Right. I appreciate your enthusiasm, Matt. It's really good to hear.
I'm excited. I'm usually on vacation when you have this. I'm going to go this year. I will also, it is Saturday. Tickets, there are a handful of tickets still left. You can go over. What's the website for people to go find tickets at?
You can get on the Walker's website www.walkerart.org. I think that's the quickest route for people. So.
All right. Walker Art.
Just click on Rock the Garden when you get to the Walker site, and that'll take you right to where you buy the tickets.
WalkerArt.org. And I also, then let's make a picture. As you said, the Walker has some of the greatest pictures ever made. It has some of the greatest sculptures ever made, but it also has some more arts that it branches out. You have an incredible arrangement that you have done there. Your curating in the performance arts has been spectacular. Give you a plug there. You've got a lot of stuff coming up over the next few months, right?
Absolutely. We open our season, which runs September to May, the second week of September with a terrific company called Nature Theater of Oklahoma, doing a piece called Pursuit of Happiness, which questions our rugged individualism and our sort of American ethos to do whatever it takes to find what we think of as happiness. So it's a really provocative, exciting, fun, interesting piece of theater. And it goes on and on. We've got great musicians, innovative dance artists, interesting experimental theater. And we take great care to shape and curate a program for people who that we think almost any of the pieces, while they may be very contemporary, really have a way in for a general public to be able to appreciate and be entertained and find provocative the forms of expression that artists are making from all over the world.
WalkerArt.org for also the complete schedule for the performance arts that are going to be coming on in starting September with the brand new season. Philip Byther, once again, Rock the Garden comes up here on Saturday. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Matt, thanks a lot. We'll see you on Saturday.
See you on Saturday. Rock the Garden over at the Walker. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's a great time to spend these June days in the garden, admiring visitors in the birdbath and marveling at what managed to sprout out of the ground. Unfortunately, those colorful flowers can track in 50 shades of dirty soiled carpeting. Luckily, Zero Res is here to save the day. You can get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned and sanitized starting at just $149. So call Zero Res today at 952-ZERO-RES or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com. And don't forget to say you want that AM 950 special, Zero Res.
Jeff Warner for Warner Stellion, Minnesota's original appliance specialist. We've been guaranteeing the lowest price on appliances for 70 years. We appreciate the opportunity to earn your trust. We will deliver and install your new appliances as only specialists can. Now for a very limited time, Warner Stellion saves you even more on appliances with unbeatable discounts, plus trusted, fast, and free services, including delivery, haul away, and 18 months no-interest financing. Visit your nearest Warner Stellion or shop online at WarnerStellion.com today.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Indeed. 952-946-6205. So just a quick few things here I want to get to before we get out of here. First of all, an interesting development in the Emergency Insulin Act. Now, a reminder, what have we learned on this show since about the Emergency Insulin Act? What have we learned on this show just since we've talked about this, since the Senate Republicans basically voted this down? We've gotten confirmation, Senator John Marty mentioned to us that said that basically they had an agreement with to put this in, and that it was Paul Gazelka that pulled it out. Gazelka and Bennett and the Republicans in the Senate, they pulled it out. We also had Quinn Nystrom on, diabetes advocate, who had said that she had gone, and Governor Walz was on board with putting the Emergency Insulin Act back in, as well as Speaker Hortman was. And they got to Senator Gazelka, and he was like, I don't know. We know that the Republicans had the chance to add the emergency insulin bill, and they refused. And so once again, they could not even do the most basic form of governing, stopping people from needlessly dying. They couldn't do it. And they tried. They put out all these, oh, it was the Democrats. It was other, doctors have free medicine. Oh, they just go to the pharmacist and I guess rob them. I don't know what they were thinking. But needless to say, this is blown up in their faces, and they know that this cannot, that this, the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to be for them as an issue in 2020. So apparently, a group of bipartisan bicameral legislators met yesterday to discuss insulin prices, possible legislation to address the issue. Not a public meeting. They've been told it's informal meetings. Legislators, both parties say they're open to a September special session to pass the emergency insulin bill by itself. Reminder, anyone that dies because they couldn't afford insulin before then, it's on the Republicans' heads and they know it. And it's a shame that they're not asking for an immediate special session right now to get this done right now. A special fund to put out there to buy emergency insulin so people do not die. For God's sakes, it is the least we can do. It is the absolute least we can do. 952-946-6205. I also did want to mention, Brett's joining me now. Brett, did you catch any of the debate last night?
Oh, yeah. I caught most of it.
You did? I will say this. I'm not going to say, I mean, one or two guys, without me saying, you know, who, one or two guys seem to me to, they seem to me to really kind of blow it. You know, yesterday there was that.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
We won't name them.
We will in 4 o'clock.
Well, it's but you know, I think that what you can honestly say is that there are multiple Democrats, three or four, that basically, you know, okay, we'll call your mom, have them come pick you up. Okay, that's the best way to say it. I would say Elizabeth Warren came out of that group definitely as the front runner of that 10. I would, you know, she, I don't know if it's her experience in the Senate or what, but she definitely seemed she just seemed to be above it better. I mean, she did. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch Sanders and Biden face off tonight. And also, I should mention Kamala Harris is in there tonight. So that should be a interesting. I think it's a little bit more of a heavyweight battle tonight. But Klobuchar was on the stage yesterday. And whereas initially she had a lot more support, she's kind of pulled back here. And I think one of the things that her clear point is, she seems to be going after suburban, predominantly white Democrats, that's what's going to get a winner of the nomination. And it's not a bad plan, because when I'm back in 2016, by far from the suburban white Democrats I talked to, the number one concern they had with a guy like Bernie Sanders was the education thing. The free college, how are we going to pay for that? Am I going to get reimbursed? You know, is every kid going to get, you know, free college now? I mean, how are we going to pay for that? What do we do with the kids that, you know, you paid for your kids' college? I mean, aren't I getting punished because I just basically was too late? And so it's an interesting, you know, debate, because once again, that was a palatable problem that a lot of suburban Democrats had with Bernie Sanders. The Min Post actually had a very good story that it seemed like what Amy Klobuchar really wanted to do was go after Bernie Sanders and kind of put her as the anti-Bernie Democratic candidate. But Bernie wasn't on the stage with her group, so basically she kind of alluded to him. I think that the progressive side of this party is awake now. It's vibrant. There's some issues that do definitely need to be addressed by the Democrats as a whole. And I think if you're just going for the, you know, moderate Democrats, I don't know if that's going to be the strategy to win. I just don't think it's going to. I really don't. We'll have to watch what happens tonight. We're back tomorrow. Hunter and Brett next. Until tomorrow, see ya.